Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 18, which says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." And we've been looking at this idea of the Apostle Paul and his desire to be around the members of the body of Christ, and how he was displaying this idea of wanting to go be around these saints in Thessalonica. And as we look at this, we see how Paul's talking about the fact that Satan was hindering him, preventing him from going about and doing what it is that he wanted to do. Now, when we look at Satan, who he is, and what it is that he is doing, you know, during any dispensation, individuals really try to look at that whole idea of Satan and say that he is trying to keep people in bad behavior so that way that they would be opposed to who God is. And so they look at Satan as, well, he tries to keep people in the bars, or, you know, gambling, or going to strip clubs, or all these different other things that individuals say are horrible and keep people opposed to God. But when we really look at what it is that he is doing, we see that it's not doing things where he's trying to keep people in these bad behaviors, but he's doing things related to the Word of God. If we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, we're going to see how the Apostle Paul starts to talk about the dealings here of Satan. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, we're going to read verses 3 and 4 of the chapter. It says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." And we see how in verse number 3, the issue of how it is that Satan works is through subtlety, and it's through beguilement. It's a idea of actually using things to try to convince somebody of something being true, corrupting people from the simplicity that is in Christ. And we know today how simple things are in Christ when we talk about the gospel message for today. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and a person putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. And how things, when you really look at Christianity today, how much is taking away from that simplicity. And as Paul takes it back to Eve, it takes it all the way back to the garden. And we know from Genesis chapter number 3 how that whole discussion went down, where you have Satan approaching Eve and asking, "Hath God said?" Questioning what the word of God was that had been given to them. And when Eve proves that she really does not have an idea of exactly what the instructions were that were given to them, then you see how Satan starts to attack that and uses that subtlety, uses the words to convince her to go against what the Word of God actually says. We see how Paul continues this whole thought process, talking about how it is that Satan is working and doing things. We're here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I'm going to skip down here to verse 13, and we're going to read down through verse 15 of the chapter. It says, For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, you see how the whole battleground is being clearly identified here of, you know, doing the things that are lining up with what the Word of God says. So the battleground becomes, what is the Word of God? What is actually happening related to the information it's for today, and how this appearance of righteousness that Paul's saying that Satan and his ministers are taking on with this is pulling people away from the simplicity of the gospel, pulling people away from the information that's been given to the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle of the Gentiles, who has the information that is applicable to us today, the books of Romans through Philemon. And you see how many people really go against it, how the majority of Christianity teaches things of, you know, that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is where the doctrine is for today. If you try to put yourselves under that doctrine, you're going to be looking at, think of how salvation's come to the Jews, how the information when the Lord Jesus Christ is asked how somebody could be saved, he tells them that they have to keep the commandments, they have to do these works. And he even adds on to it and says about how somebody has to sell all that they have, give to the poor, and follow him. He keeps putting people under that performance system in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because that's consistent with the information that's been given to the nation of Israel and the doctrine for them. And individuals trying to pull that and say that this is what is happening for us today, ignoring the dispensational difference between what was given to Israel and what's given to the Gentiles, the body of Christ, and not understanding that there's a difference between law and grace, between prophecy and mystery, all those different divisions that the Word of God clearly identifies that man is rejecting based on this being pulling away from what the truth of God's Word actually says. So they have this appearance of doing the right things because it keeps lining up with Scripture. It's biblical. It just doesn't have that principle of right division, understanding how we're to study the Word of God. That you study this, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Understanding how I can separate that truth that was given to Israel from the truth that's given to us, the members of the body of Christ. Now we see how Paul continues to define what Satan was doing in his opposition to God's program. If we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to see how Paul's going to say something here about the cross in relationship to what it is that Satan was doing. And when we look here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, we're going to read here verses 6 through 8 of the chapter. And it says, "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Now, when you go back into the passages looking in Isaiah, talking about, you know, Satan and what it is that he was doing in opposition to God, or you look in the book of Ezekiel, which has some of that information as well, you see how those passages talk about the fact that the battle between Satan and God is not a battle of things of power, because, you know, there's no way that Satan could have even possibly thought he could win it, because he was created by God. So he knows he doesn't have the issue of power, so he tries to make it a battle of wisdom. So to try to prove that he's wiser than God, that he can prevent God's program from actually occurring. And that's really what you see happening all through scriptures, as Satan understands what the word of God is, because he has that knowledge. He keeps coming up with plans of how to keep pulling man away from what they're supposed to be doing, to prevent, you know, back in Israel's program, was trying to prevent the kingdom from being established. And that's why he, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared on earth, the realization of what that meant and how he kept leading that opposition. And it identifies here in this passage that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 of how if Satan had fully understood the message that's given to us, that he would have done everything instead of trying to encourage man to reject the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner to where he was going to die and take care of the issue of sin. It was, would have been a thing of, I have to prevent this from happening. I have to prevent the cross from occurring because of what it's going to accomplish for the Gentiles and the reconciliation of the heavenly places. That he didn't prevent this, and now the issue has to become knowing what is going on in this dispensation, that Satan is going to do things to keep people away from the truth of God's word rightly divided, you know, and to keep this message from going forth. And what he does is things that we see, for example, we go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, to where we're going to see Paul describe some things here. You know, this is Paul's last epistle that he writes, speaking of all the opposition and the things that are going, you know, on, you know, related to man and the rejection of the message for today. If we see here in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 24 through 26, speaking of this, and it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Now, as we see this whole issue of individuals being taken captive, you know, being put in this snare of the devil, you know, we see what that snare is and how that snare, if we line up all the things that we've already discussed in the battle of wisdom, the information of the doctrine, the word of God, having that appearance of righteousness, we understand that that snare is an individual being caught up in information that runs contrary to Romans through Philemon. And how individuals can be caught in this, and that the whole hope is that the individuals who are doing the right things, who are studying the Word of God rightly divided, having that growth in the knowledge of what God wants people to understand, that as people have that growth happen, that they can, and it says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. So it's a meekness because it's not the person, it's the word of God that's actually going to work and make the change. And that's where the meekness is coming from, because the person's pulling themselves out of the mix and saying, you know, you're letting the word of God actually work in these circumstances, giving the person a chance to have that repentance, the changing of the mind, to where they can acknowledge what the truth of God's word is. Actually says, and can be pulled out of this snare that they've been caught in. We see how Paul starts to talk about this in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. he makes another reference to this kind of an idea here. And in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, we're just going to read the very first verse of the chapter. And it says, "Now that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." And so, as Paul's writing this and talking about how that there's a thing where he's talking about the latter times, talking about the things of where the dispensation of the grace of God is going, that individuals are going to be giving heed to these seducing spirits, giving heed to these doctrines of devils, and how this is going to keep getting worse and worse as the dispensation continues on and people are being pulled away from the truth of God's word, rightly divided. So when we are talking about this issue of Satan opposing the Apostle Paul, that it's Satan doing these things to rile people up, to get them to understand the things that he wants them to have, that where they think that they are understanding God's will, but are doing the things that are completely opposed to what the Word of God would actually say. We see how Paul has to really keep talking to individuals to get them to understand how they can prepare themselves to be able to face this opposition that's going to be coming for them. We see Paul talk about this over in the book of Ephesians, where he lays out some of this information that a person has to understand. If we go over to Ephesians chapter number 6, first, we're going to see how Paul's going to talk about the things of what's going on here. And in Ephesians chapter number 6, you have this whole discussion that goes on related to the armor that a member of the body of Christ needs to be putting on as they're preparing themselves to be participating in this. And we're going to start here at verse number 11 of Ephesians chapter number 6. And we're going to go down through verse number 17 to get that full description of what this armor actually is. Verse 11 says, "But on the whole, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And as you see how Paul starts to talk about this preparation of the individual to be able to face all of the opposition that comes against us and putting on this armor, you see how there's only one real offensive weapon that's given to the member of the body of Christ, and that's the issue of having the Word of God, having the information that God would have us to have to really know exactly how it is that we're to be functioning and participating in this. And he talks about how we're to have, as he identifies it, the shield of faith that's going to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That this shield is going to be able to protect us from all of these attacks that are going to come upon us related to what the Word of God actually says and how those doctrines of devils that are made a reference to over in 1 Timothy, that this shield is going to protect the individual from being influenced by those. You see how Paul, as long as we're here in the book of Ephesians, let's turn back a couple chapters. We'll go to chapter number 4 to see how Paul's going to describe something here of this preparation that an individual needs to have when he says in verse 14 of Ephesians chapter number 4, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And how individuals, and you can see this today as you're discussing things with someone, that they get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine when they don't have the Word of God rightly divided fully inside of them, that as somebody starts to teach something, you know, they just, well, I believe this because it's the last thing that I heard. So if they hear someone teach them how they're saved by grace through faith, they put their trust in that. Then they hear someone else start talking about how you have to work to obtain and maintain your salvation. Well, I believe that. Then they hear someone else talking about how works have nothing to do for what it is that's going on. So they start believing that. And then another person comes and tells them how they have to work and keep the things of the law. And they say, well, I'm going to do that. And just keep bouncing back and forth between these different things based on whoever it is that the last person that they heard. And the end result is that they really have no growth. They don't have the thing of what God intends for them. And Paul's saying that, you know, we can no longer, we're not to be children. We're going to have that growth and become spiritually adults, understanding what the Word says, so that way we can will not have to worry about the fact that Satan can try to pull us away from those things. And you see how in Paul's life that there were individuals that actually were pulled in that manner. You see how in 2 Timothy, where he talks about all those who were in Asia were opposing him. And when he's identifying the effect of all that are in Asia, these are a number of assemblies that he had been speaking at. So he had ministered to them. He had given them the information that they needed. And yet, as things were going on, they walked away from the truth of God's word, rightly divided. We see how Paul, even at the end of that epistle, if we go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to see how he's going to even name names of individuals and talk about how they went unto these places that were no longer standing for the truth of God's word rightly divided. And in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, we're going to read here verses 10, actually 9, 10, and 11 here. And it says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And how you see that Paul's identifying Demas, Crescens, and Titus as individuals who had been caught up in this snare that had gone contrary to the information that was given to the Apostle Paul, and saying about how only Luke is with him. Luke's the only one that was standing firm for this information, and he's identifying the fact that these people went on to, you know, Demas goes into Thessalonica, the place that we've been studying for all of these weeks, looking at how, you know, individuals hold them up as the model assembly, and yet Paul's saying by the end of his life that they've forsaken him. Crescens goes into Galatia, another place that had an epistle written unto them that had the understanding of truth, and now they're no longer there. Titus, an individual that Paul dearly loved, that had, you know, he was depressed at one point when Titus wasn't with him. He writes an epistle unto him, giving him information, and yet Titus goes unto Dalmatia, you know, having forsaken Paul. All these individuals have gone away, being caught up in the trap that Satan has left for them of, you know, falling into the error of believing this doctrine that it does not line up with what it is that Paul has been given. And that's where Paul's talking about this opposition. This is what it really comes down to. And Paul faced that for his whole ministry. We face that as we deal with things. And we see how these things go on. And that's where Paul tries to prepare us to make sure that we're not going to face those things in a similar manner. Now, next time we're going to pick up with verse number 19 of this epistle. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything in these broadcasts, anything that you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching the gospel of the grace of God to this lost and dying world.